Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
I tell you this, an unholy church will never reach an unholy world. God has called us for more than this. God knows what is good for us, what is best for us. And if it will make you happy, if it will make you holy, if it will make you wholesome, God wants you to have it. And remember, anytime God says you shall not, He is saying you shall help yourself to genuine happiness by keeping His commandments. And yes, there is a moral law that governs the universe.
On today's PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how to walk in holiness before a watching world. Now here's Dr. Graham with his message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 1.
You can find our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So begin finding 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. To please God is the purpose of every Christian. Jesus himself said, I always please the Father. And that should be the pursuit and the prayer of all of us who follow Jesus, that we would be like Him more and more, and that we would live to please Him. The Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, we always make it our aim to do what? To please God. The great late Adrian Rogers used to say, if you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter whom you please. It is our purpose and God's plan for each one of us that we would pursue Him, that this would be our holy ambition, that we would please Him. Unfortunately, in the church today, at large, the church, there's a disconnect between what we say we believe and how we live. In fact, surveys and statistics tell us that, unfortunately, there's very little difference between the lives of those who profess Christianity and those who do not. Very little difference or distinctiveness between those who go to church and those who do not. Now, God has called us to be unique and distinct. That's what the word holy means. The word means that we are to be different, as God is utterly and wholly unique and distinct and separated from sin. And the God who is holy has called us to this holiness. Yet, we seem to be lowering our standards, not raising our standards. And so when you look at the key subject matter of whether it be the divorce rate is typically the same in the church as well as out of the church. Attitudes towards defining marriage, homosexuality, growing dissent, even among people in churches regarding that issue. The rise and, I might say, acceptance of pornography, whether you're talking about hardcore or soft porn. The kind you see on your premium television stations, if you have them. Acceptance. We have about the same number of out-of-wedlock pregnancies as people out of the church. Sexual addictions, unholy habits, casual sex, consensual sex, in or out of the church. It doesn't seem to matter. Shack-ups and hookups, anything goes. The rules are set aside to do what I want to do, to please me rather than to please God. And as much as we hate to admit it, the church, including many of its leaders, pastors and others, have accommodated to the culture. And we are in a slide downward. We are slouching towards Gomorrah. And this moral epidemic, this immoral epidemic is spreading. And countless men and women who name the name of Christ have fallen into sexual sin and immorality. And the problem is not too many people seem to care. It's laissez-faire. It's just the way it is. And so we're often silent on the subject. We don't talk about it. It's a taboo in the church to talk about these issues. After all, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to name sin and call sin for what it is, lest people turn away. Yet God has called us not to acceptance, but to abstinence from sexual sin. And whether we are in the culture or in the church, it needs to matter how we live our lives. We sadly have not been dealing with a problem. We have not called one another into accountability. Not calling each other out, but calling each other up into purity and holiness and godliness. We are to be living as followers of Jesus, transformed and triumphant lives. Not defeated by our sin, not destroyed by our sin, but living in this victory. Our relationships are to be meaningful and our sexual experiences are to be godly. Why? That we may please God and live for Him and Him only. I tell you this, an unholy church will never reach an unholy world. God has called us for more than this. Sexual sin has physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual consequences in our lives. God knows what is good for us, what is best for us. And if it will make you happy, if it will make you holy, if it will make you wholesome, God wants you to have it. And remember, anytime God says you shall not, He is saying you shall help yourself to genuine happiness by keeping His commandments. And yes, there is a moral law that governs the universe. God has not set aside His own moral attributes, nor has He set aside His word and His will for us to live godly lives. And that's the subject of 1 Thessalonians 4. You know, these verse numbers and chapters are not in the original text. These are written by the Apostle Paul, this in particular, written by the Apostle Paul. This is the inerrant, infallible word. Remember, when we read this in just a moment, this is not Paul's preference. This is not man's opinion, but this is the word of God. This is Jesus Himself speaking to us. So you can't say, well, that's Paul and that's Paul's particular ideas. No, this is the word of God, inerrant and infallible. And so when God's word speaks, God speaks. So verse 13 of the end of chapter 3 says that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father and Father. And then He expands, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, this theme. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you. This is a very strong word. It means I beg you. Paul had a pastor's heart. And when he was writing this, he was writing from Corinth, a very corrupt culture, a very sinful culture, sex saturated, even more than our own culture today, though we're headed there. He was writing from Corinth, where Christians, new believers, were facing the old sins and the old temptations every day. To Thessalonica, more of the same. The Greco-Roman world, the world of the Romans and the Greeks, was a very sex-saturated culture. Even the worship of their idols and deities was accompanied by sexual sin and behavior, prostitutes in the temple, and on and on. It is vile. It is wicked. And so Paul is writing in this culture, just in case you're thinking, well, that's the Bible. Of course it talks about holiness. Paul is talking to a very unholy and corrupt society are in the midst of that. That's the background. And now you have these Christians at Corinth and these Christians at Thessalonica who are trying to learn how to live this brand new life. Many of them have come out of deep sin and shame in their life and brokenness and pain in their lives, and now called to a higher standard to elevate in that. And that's what's happening. Verse 1 again says, how you ought to walk and to please God. And here's a commendation. I love this. Just as you're doing. So let me start with a commendation to those of you who are in Christ and you're living for the Lord and you're pleasing God. You're doing this, but it's not easy. It's a struggle. It's a challenge every day to live, to please God, to live a holy life. And he says, I commend you just as you are doing. But then he says that you do so more and more. There's some growing to do. There's more for you. The Christian life is more than the beginning. It is a wonderful life and lifestyle in which we live these repentant, redeemed lives that are different. They are holy unto the Lord. This is a sanctuary unto the Lord. Lord, make me a sanctuary. And verse 2 says, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. This is Jesus talking. This is God speaking. These are the instructions I am giving you through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 1. We know there's no limit to the power of God's Word to transform lives. That's why we're asking for your help to reach a critical $800,000 financial year-end goal so even more people can hear God's life-changing Word through PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous matching grant, your gift today will be worth twice as much. So please call now to give, and we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Pastor Graham's book, Choices. Call 1-800-795-4625. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or shop for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now let's get back to today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 1.
Verse 3, for this is the will of God. You want to know and do God's will for your life? You're a young person today, a teenager, or a young adult, you want to find and fulfill God's plan, God's purpose for your life. You want to do the will of God? Start right here. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God. What? Your sanctification. The word sanctification is a word which means to be holy. It means separation from sin unto God. When you got married, maybe you were dating around and, you know, you had all these datables in your phone. You call them up and go on a date. But then the one walked into your life, that one, the one of God's own choice for you. And you said at an altar, I choose you above all others and I separate myself to you. I commit to you. That's sanctification. A man is sanctified to his wife. A woman is sanctified to her husband. We are separated from all others and we cleave and cling to one another. We're separated to each other. Now, we are separated from our sin and separated to God in this love relationship that we have with Him. Remember, salvation is both a crisis and a process. Salvation is both a crisis and a process. And here's what I mean by that. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, when you become a believer, when you are saved, born again, that's a crisis point. It's a conversion. You were going in one direction and you turned in a new direction. That's repentance, to turn around. But salvation is also a process. There is no sinless perfection this side of heaven. We're all on the path. We're all on the journey, and there is a struggle along the way. And so it is the will of God, therefore, that you participate in this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, that you walk with him, and to walk with him is to be filled with him and his presence, and that means purity and holiness and godliness, not self-righteousness, but his righteousness. Remember this, holiness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to holiness. We don't become holy, or we don't get to Jesus by self-righteous works of trying to act holy or be holy. Jesus is the way to holiness. You'll never live a holy life apart from Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ and repent of your sins and to be cleansed. You don't have to live in your sin. You don't have to live in your shame. You don't have to live a life of regret. You can be made brand new by the power of Jesus Christ. But with that said, if you are in Christ, then your life is to be different. It will be different. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, everything becomes brand new. Again, you haven't arrived there yet. You're not perfect, but you're on the way. It's not perfection right now that God is after. It is progress. Progress. That you would abound more and more. Sex is God's idea. God's not holding sex out from you. He is holding on to it for you. He is not keeping sex from you. He is saving sex for you. It's his idea. That's why the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 that marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed be kept pure. But God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So the marriage bed, the physical intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage, is to be protected. There are to be boundaries, both before we get married and certainly while we are married. And when the scripture here talks about sanctification from anything that is immoral, look at it again in chapter 4, verse 3. It says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, what? That you abstain from sexual immorality. That's a very strong word there, abstain. Some translations give it as avoid. That's a bad translation. It's much stronger than avoid. We're talking about total abstinence from any sexual behavior that is outside of the blessing and the beauty and yes, the boundaries of marriage. I didn't say it, God said it. God knows what is best for each one of us. God has chosen a path for us that is pure, and real satisfaction and security is found in God's way, not my way. We're not smarter than God. Now, there is a pure desire and an impure desire. The problem is not sex. God created sex. The problem is lust. The problem is sexual behavior outside of God's parameters that he has chosen for us, whether it be adultery or immorality before marriage. In mind and thought and deed, lust is uncontrolled passions. That's why he says in this passage, learn how to control your body. If you are a believer, this is your passion. This is the passion that overwhelms every other kind of passion. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, just a verse or two over, that you would be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. You have a body, physical life. You have a soul, which is psuche, psychological life, emotional, intelligence, and so on. Then you have a spiritual life, how you relate to God. And you don't compartmentalize your life by saying, well, in the spirit, I'm holy, but in the flesh, not so much. That you would be sanctified, made more and more like Jesus, physically, mentally, psychologically, and spiritually, that you would please God. That's what he's talking about here. And I'm telling you that there are no exceptions. There are no excuses. This is for all who name the name of Christ. The word immorality here is taken from a Greek word, porneia. Well, you can hear the word porn in that word. And literally, the word pornographic is akin to this word. But not just pornography on paper, on video, but pornography in your life, where this obsession begins to control you. You become an addict. You become habitually disconnected from God. Again, God made sex for his purposes and for your pleasure. Psalm 84, 11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory or favor and honor, and no good thing will he withhold to them who walk uprightly. And so back to our text. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain. Is there anything unclear about the word abstain? That you abstain. Not accept, as so many people have accepted immorality in our culture, but abstain. Personally abstain. This is the will of God for you. You see, everyone has a choice in life to make. Whether you will live to please God or live to please yourself. Whether you will indulge your flesh or walk in the Spirit. It should be your desire to starve the flesh and feed the Spirit in your life. But Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20 says this, "But I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days." What a scripture. You have a choice. To live in victory or to live in misery. To live in God's blessings with all the benefits that comes from walking with him, or to live under the cursing of judgment. You have a choice, and that is your happiness or your unhappiness. You say, how in the world can I do that? It really involves a decision, a choice you make to choose Christ over yourself, to turn from your sin and trust in him.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, A Life That Pleases God, Part 1. We're thrilled to share that your gift today to help meet our $800,000 financial year-end goal will be instantly doubled by a generous matching grant. That means your donation will be worth twice as much to help broadcast the good news of Jesus Christ on TV, radio, and online. To say thanks for your generosity, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Graham's eye-opening book, Choices. So call now to get your copy of Choices when you give to help proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or shop for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, many people think that doing what pleases God and doing what makes them happy are two different things. Is that true?
It's very important that you know that our God is a happy God, and in His presence there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, according to the Scripture, is pleasure forevermore. Jesus said, "My joy I give to you." So God, who is full of joy in Jesus, who wants you to live not only in holiness but in happiness, has promised you a genuine and lasting satisfaction and joy. Now, the devil doesn't want you to know that. The devil wants you to think that it's up to you to find your own happiness, or even to turn to the world or Satan himself to find happiness. And many times we destroy our own happiness and we end up in misery because we try to choose happiness in our own way. Everything, anything we pursue outside of God's will, God's word, is taking a sledgehammer to the abundant life that He has promised us. So when it comes to all of our desires, including physical, sexual desires, the world tells us that what we need to do is please ourselves and that will make us happy. That's the company line. That's what the world says. And so we have a world full of really happy people, right? Well, that's not right. We have a world filled with a lot of unhappy, selfish, dissatisfied people. And the more people feed their selfish desires and sinful desires, the more empty and alone and dissatisfied they feel. You were made to live in a loving relationship with God, to walk with Him, and that should bring joy to your life. When you're truly walking in the Word, when you're living for Jesus, then you will experience satisfaction and the pleasures that He desires for you to have. It's in that relationship that you can find happiness. Any other attempt you make outside of Him is a failure. So trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe in Him. Live God's way. And I promise you, as you live a life that pleases God, it will please you as well.
And that is today's PowerPoint. When you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Pastor Graham's book, Choices. To say thanks for your gift, call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about how to experience the life of joy God wants for you. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.